Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning weekly gathering. It's really good to see you all. It's a bright, beautiful, sunny day here. It's been that way for about a week, which is changing a pattern that we had before where there was a lot of rain for about a month. I know that's been true in many places in the country. I know there's a lot of flooding, but I also know part of the country has been very, very dry, especially out in California. It's interesting how somehow there's some kind of a balance in that. You know, if we look at it from a very individual perspective, we might say, oh, it's been too wet here. If we look at it from another place, at an individual perspective, we might say, oh, it's been too dry here. But if we kind of back up and look at the whole, we realize somehow everything's still in balance. It can't get out of balance. Isn't that interesting? Why don't we start this morning by saying hello, good morning, I love you to one another. You can type that on the board. If you're new to our weekly gathering, you know, this is kind of like the part in many church services. If you're Catholic, you know, sometimes you shake hands and say, peace be with you. But if you go to Unity, you might hug one another. So it's that part of the service where we get to greet one another in love and peace. And I'll play a song that I traditionally play during this part of the gathering. It's called Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Lovely. And again, it's wonderful to be back with you all. I have been traveling for several weeks, and it's lovely to be home. I notice Barb says my mic is going in and out. I don't think it's my mic. I think it's Pal Talk. When I was listening to Lynn playing music just before I started speaking, that music was going in and out as well. But you know what I could do, it will only take a moment, Okay, Barb will leave the room. I was going to say, if other people are having problems, I could leave the room and come back. So let me know if you would like me to do that. How's that sound? I'm going to share a statement of purpose today. I'm going to share from Awakening Together's core value number 2. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. I'm just going to read that one more time so we can all listen to it very, very deeply. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. You know, it's interesting because this core value, of course, says everyone is equal and that no one has spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. But what it doesn't say is that there aren't ones who are ahead of us on this path. Because that most definitely is true, you know, in this apparent world of time where we seem to be awakening, some will have already had experiences that we may be currently going through. So sometimes our spiritual intuition will guide us to listen to another or read a book that another has written because we can learn from that one. It can help clear the weeds away from our own path so that we can find our path more easily. But at the same time, we need to be careful about thinking that someone else really has what we don't have, because that's not true. We have the exact same spiritual intuition that one has. And interestingly, this path of awakening is, as A Course in Miracles says, completely individualized, or highly individualized. I think it says highly individualized, which means no one is walking the exact same path as me. So, although it is from time to time extremely helpful to listen to someone who is ahead of me and to learn from their experience, I also need to know when the one ahead of me is actually walking a slightly different trail on the mountain and therefore telling me about something on the path that isn't really on my journey. It's the spiritual intuition that guides me when to listen to another and when to let what another has just said gently go without judgment, because it's not for me, or at least it's not for me right now. Maybe I'm just not at that point on the path yet. So one thing that is extremely important, in fact, I think it's the most important skill. Last time I taught here in the room, I talked about how important it is to develop our desire to awaken. How if we develop our desire to awaken, everything that we need will be given. Well, within that umbrella of what's given, there are skills that we will develop. And one of the skills that's I think is probably the most important skill to develop is the discernment between our own ego and our own spiritual intuition. Because the ego will keep us confused and looking in the wrong direction. That's what it does. And the spiritual intuition will keep us gently clear and looking in the right direction. That's what it does. So if I even want to be clear on when to listen to another and when not to listen to another, I already need to know my own spiritual intuition. I need to know the difference between my ego and my spiritual intuition. We all have the same spiritual intuition, and no one is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. I want to share some announcements with you this morning. The first one is that this is the third Sunday of the month, which means tonight is our Awakening Together Satsang. And our guest tonight is a man named Tony Samara. One thing that's kind of interesting about Tony, he is perceived as an enlightened master by many. And again, I personally will never tell you that someone is or is not enlightened. I do not consider that my job. But I like to introduce people that are perceived as enlightened and then let you listen to your own spiritual intuition as you listen to them. And so Tony falls into that category. He is from Northern Europe. Most of his audience is in Europe. One thing that's really interesting about him is that the path he has followed is a little different than the path that many of us follow. We all have some similarities in our paths, it seemed like, here in Awakening Together. His path is a little different. The first part is not that different. Many of you have looked into Zen Buddhism, so he started with Zen Buddhism. But he went from Zen Buddhism to shamanism, and from shamanism to Jainism. And many of you might not even know what Jainism is. But Jainism in some ways is very, very similar to Buddhism. And in fact, the one who is perceived to be the leader of Jainism actually walked the earth, the same area of India, the same time that the one that we know of as Buddha, Gautama Buddha, the same time that he was walking the earth in that area of India. And some people even believe that their paths crossed and that they talked and influenced one another. Of course, who knows? Who knows? But Jainism was a strong influence on Tony in his awakening. So he's very interesting to talk to because his path was a little bit different. So tonight, at 8 p.m., please come and hear the conversation, the satsang conversation with Tony Samara. Now, I noticed there's a question from Hazel. What is a satsang? A satsang is defined as being with the self. Yeah, gathering together for truth or being with the truth. There we go. I call it being with the self. And so tonight is a night of being with the truth or being with the self. As we listen to the conversation with Tony Samara. Also another, oh, by the way, I think I said it, but just in case I didn't or you missed it, 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, right here for Tony. Okay, 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight. All right, another announcement I'd like to make. Maybe you've already noticed this. You were sent ballots yesterday in email. During the month of May, we nominated people to the member board of trustees. We now have 5 nominees that have been ratified. And so we need to vote among those 5 nominees. We're electing 3 people to the member board of trustees. Now, you might know some of the 5 nominees. In fact, some of them are right here in the room right now. The 5 nominees are Lynn Castaldo. You might know Lynn because she's our sanctuary administrator on Sunday evenings. Carrie Christensen, you might know Carrie because she's our sanctuary administrator on Wednesday mornings. She's also in her second year of our minister preparation program. Sandy Ruiz, Sandy's much quieter. You may not be as aware of her, but if you look, you will notice that she is here in the room. She's in here as Sandy Lou. She is also in her second year of the MPP program, and she lives right here in Pueblo, Colorado. Our 4th nominee is Sonia Spahn. You may not know Sonia as well either. However, she is also here in the room with her name, so you can see her. She also was my reader once on a Sunday morning, so some of you might remember that. We were reading about animals and whether they have conscious awareness or not. Also, her son is the same age as Jasmine, which means her son is going away to college very soon, which is freeing up some time for Sonia. which makes her more available to volunteer and serve. And then our fifth nominee is Gloria Wells. Let's see, I'm looking to see if Gloria is in the room right now. I don't see her right now, but she is typically here on Sunday mornings. She is also in her second year of the Minister Preparation Program. So three of our nominees are in the second year of their MPP program. And, oh, she's here. Okay, I just overlooked her. There she is, light feather. Gloria's here. So she is also here. And one thing about Gloria is she has a very strong heart dedication to service. So we have five really strong and available nominees, and three of them will be elected to serve on the Member Board of Trustees. Now, as I mentioned, the ballot arrived in your mailbox yesterday, and you are welcome to vote at any time. However, you don't need to vote until July 6th. July 6th is the last day that voting is accepted. And there are a lot of things that are going to happen between now and July 6th to help you make your decision. One is next Friday, on June 26th, I will be sending out via the daily update the bios and photos of each of these five nominees so you can get to know them a little better. On Sunday, June 28th, so a week from today, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have a special member meeting. All five of the nominees will be there and will share a little bit about themselves, and maybe I'll interview them just a hair if they're shy and not sharing enough so that you can get to know them. And then on Monday, June 29th, I'll be sending out that audio as a part of the daily update so that if you weren't able to come to the special member meeting live, you'll be able to listen to the audio. And then from the date that I send out that audio, June 29th, you still have another week till July 6th to vote. The last day that you can vote is July 6th. Now, one thing that is important is that you hold on to the ballot that you received yesterday. There is a link in that email which goes directly to your individual ballot. And if you email me and say, Regina, can you send me my ballot again? I cannot. I cannot. I will ask Jay. I will find out from Jay if he can maybe send out the ballots again to everyone closer to the voting date. I don't know if he can or not. If so, then that's a possibility. But I think the safest thing is just to hold on to the email that you received yesterday so that when you are ready to vote, you can go into your inbox, find that email, click on that link, and go vote. Again, you can vote anytime between now and July 6th, but there are some special events planned throughout the voting period to help you make your decision. And I personally plan to wait until all of the special events have occurred so that I can make a thoughtful decision on my three votes. Oh, by the way, five people, but you get a vote for three of them because we have three seats. So you get to vote for three of the five when you do vote. The next thing I'd like to just share with you, some of you already know, maybe all of you already know about the A Course in Miracles conference that's coming up in Las Vegas, April 8th to 10th, 2016. I know that the Community Miracle Center is getting ready for the formal launch. The formal launch advertising that conference hasn't even occurred yet, but I can see that they are getting very, very close to ready. And once they do the formal launch, the price actually goes up. Right now, the pre-launch price is $449. So if you're certain you want to go to this Las Vegas conference and you would like to be able to get it at the $449, the pre-launch price, you need to go to Awakening Together, click on the events menu, and you'll get information there on how to register. You want to register very soon. Literally, you may only have 2 or 3 days left. I'm not exactly sure. They'll launch it as soon as they're completely ready. You know, they're getting all of their ducks in a row, as we say. And they're getting very, very close. So you might not even want to put it off beyond today. It's possible they could launch tomorrow. I don't know exactly. So keep that in mind. If you want that pre-launch price, it is time to register. And also, people are beginning to register now for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. Remember, we have three retreats. We have a two-day retreat with Jan Fraser, a five-day retreat with me, and a two-day retreat with Bentinho Massaro. And registrations are really starting to come in for those as well. Space is limited if you want to stay the night. However, there are hotels just down the road, and you can get a commuter rate as well. So once the space fills up, it's not really filled up. It just means you wouldn't be able to sleep at the retreat center. You could get a hotel down the road. You'll need a rental car or something, though, to get back and forth. So if you want to be sure that you stay at the retreat center, you might want to go ahead and think about also registering for that sooner rather than later. And you can find that information also under our events menu at awakening-together.org. And that's it for my announcements today, so I'm going to lead right into our opening song. It's by an artist named Kathy Robel. And the name of this song is Artist of My Soul. Going to go into a brief period of silence, which will be followed by a prayer. Please join me. be the artist of my soul. For me, is figurative language. Because the direct creation that I am, the truth of what I am, was created perfectly changeless. Perfect and whole as it is. It doesn't require artistry. But in this experience of the world where there is a split mind, there is the ego, which is also known as the self-centered nature. The person nature, the personality. The head, the thinking, the mind. And then there is something else. We could call that something else the heart, the soul, true desire, longing for God. But that something else, whatever it is called, seems to be a bridge. From the ego to the truth of what I am. And it seems somehow that there is also something that I will call me that travels somehow from this ego that I call me across this bridge of the heart, which I recognize as what I am, to myself, the truth of me. And somehow on this journey that I make from the self that I am not to the self that I am, there is guidance, intuition. Comes from some deep, deep chamber of wisdom or well of wisdom that is also what I am. So what the artist of my soul is a request that the me that is traveling from the ego across the bridge of myself to myself, that it be guided from that deep, deep well of wisdom that is also myself. Every step, carefully placed, guiding me across that bridge, back to my truth. Amen. All right, it is time for our inspirational reading. Our reader today is Kathy Smith, and she is going to read a brief excerpt from The Way of Liberation by Adya Shanti. Kathy, the mic is yours.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? Good. My heart is pounding so hard, Regina, with just everything that you shared. So, I'm a little teary-eyed. And if you can just give me 1 minute to kind of recover, I'll be right. At least for me, there was just so much there that I felt just a bit, maybe, I don't even know what the word would be, so at any rate, today I'm going to be reading from Adyashanti's book, The Way of Liberation, and this is from chapter one, which is titled The Five Foundations. And today's reading is about one of those five foundations. And as Regina started our service off with the idea of never abdicate your authority, that is what this is entitled. So never abdicate your authority. So the third foundation is never abdicate your authority. This means that you take full responsibility for your life and never hand over to someone else. There is no such thing as riding the tails of an enlightened being to enlightenment itself. A failure to us can lead, as so many have been led, to cultish fanaticism, fundamentalism, magical thinking, disappointment, disillusionment, and or spiritual infancy. While it is understandable that many people project their unresolved parental issues, relationship issues, authority issues, sexuality issues, as well as God issues onto their spiritual teacher, and are sometimes encouraged to do so by unscrupulous spiritual teachers, it is essential to understand that a spiritual teacher's role is to be a good and wise spiritual guide as well as an embodiment of the truth that he or she points toward. While there may be deep respect, love, and even devotion to one's spiritual teacher, it is important not to add your authority over to your spiritual teacher or project all divinity exclusively onto them. Your life belongs in your hands, not someone else's. Take responsibility for it. There is a fine line between being truly open to the guidance of a spiritual teacher and regressing into a childish relationship where you abdicate your adulthood and project all wisdom and divinity onto the. Each person needs to find a mature balance, being truly and deeply open to their spiritual guide without abdicating all of their authority. The same can be applied to a spiritual teaching. A spiritual teaching is a finger point reality. It is not reality itself. To be in a true and mature relationship with a spiritual teaching requires you to apply it, not simply believe in it. Belief leads to various forms of fundamentalism and shuts down the curiosity and inquiry that are essential to open the way for awakening and what lies beyond awakening. And I'm going to read that line one more time. Actually, the two lines. To be in a true and mature relationship with a spiritual teaching requires me, you, to apply it, not simply believe in it. Belief leads to various forms of fundamentalism and shuts down the curiosity and inquiry that are essential to open the way for awakening and what lies beyond awakening. A good spiritual teaching is something that you work with and apply. In doing so, it works on you, often in a hidden way, and helps reveal to you the truth and falseness that lies within you. What is it to not abdicate your own authority and yet not claim a false or self-centered authority that will lead you into delusion? I am afraid I cannot tell you. You see, no one can tell you how not to deceive yourself. If, in the deepest place within you, you want and desire truth above all else, even though you go astray in a thousand different ways, you will find yourself again and again being brought back to what is true. And if you do not want and desire truth above all else, well, you already know what that leads to. And that's the end of today's reading, so I'm going to release the mic.
Thank you, Kathy. It's a very, very small reading, but there's so much in it. Sometimes I know. I started to say I think, but I think is being polite in this case. I know that we read things too quickly, and we say, oh, yeah, I agree with that, and we go right on, and somehow that which we agreed with, which was really our heart saying, pay more attention to that, right? That's what we agreed with, our heart saying, pay more attention to that. Somehow, because we read it too quickly and then we go on to other things, it gets kind of buried under the dust of the mind, and we don't live it or act on it in the way our heart was prompting us to. And this segment from Adya Shanti's book, The Way of Liberation, is one of those segments. And in fact, it seems to be important enough that Holy Spirit made it one of our five core values. So let's talk about what it means not to abdicate our authority. I'm sure you all have seen, at least in others, if not within yourself, what I'll call the tendency to get all Google-eyed about a spiritual teacher. And when I say Google-eyed, I mean that there's some kind of an admiration there that goes beyond the healthy relationship back into the realm of not so healthy, back into the realm of distraction. Adya Shanti calls this cultish fanaticism. He's not necessarily saying that these situations are all cults. He's not calling them cults. He's just saying there's this cultish fanaticism about it. That's the Google-eyed about the teacher, right? He also calls it fundamentalism. You know, fundamentalism is really thinking, my teacher is the most right. My teacher is the most best. My teacher is the most awakened. And all the others, although some of them are good, are not quite as good as mine. And if you guys didn't hear it, I will point out there's a whole lot of separation and me thinking in that. Fundamentalism. He also says magical thinking. You know, there's one teacher that I remember in particular from India who died recently who, you know, he used to provide jewels to his followers that came from his mouth. It was called manifestation. And, you know, all this magical thinking around these special powers began to develop. But in addition, something else these Google eyes can lead to is disappointment. When you see your spiritual teacher's human side. Disillusionment. When at some point you realize your spiritual teacher hasn't taken you anywhere, or maybe took you just a few steps and then left you there for a long, long time. Or the last thing that Adyashanti says it could lead to is spiritual infancy. Let me share a little story about that. It's not exactly about spiritual infancy, but I think you'll see the connection. This week there was a death in my family. It was my stepbrother. He was 53 years old. And he died of a heart attack. But I think that, if he hadn't died of the heart attack, he would have died of something else. He is a person who has really been a drunk all of his life. And many, many, many years of drinking, as you know, takes a toll on the body. And he didn't just drink, he was a drunk. He was drunk most of the time. He probably, the first thing he did when he got out of the bed in the morning was grab a beer. And he also, you know, smoked and he got no exercise. And, you know, basically his entire lifestyle was unhealthy. And, you know, when you have an unhealthy lifestyle like that, not only does it take a toll on the body, but as you know, it takes a toll on your life, which means it creates problems. And there were lots of problems that were created in his life. You know, problems, traffic problems, you know, driving while drunk and you know, being arrested and his license taken away and his car taken away and showing up at work drunk and, you know, just all kinds of stuff that comes with that. But what's interesting in his lifetime is he never had to face any of his problems directly. Because my stepfather bailed him out of everything all of his life. He was completely dependent on my stepfather. And whenever anything occurred, he called the stepfather, and the stepfather somehow, some way, found a way to take care of it so that the son never had to do anything on his own. And as a result, in the entire time I've known him, I probably first met him when he was around 23, I was around 25. Maybe it was a little before that. Maybe it was close. No, I think that's when it was. He was 23, I was 25. So I've known him, you know, all of our adult lives. In the entire time I've known him, I've never seen a centimeter of growth in him. None. No change, no growth, no realizations. And then he died. That's similar to this spiritual infancy that Adyashanti is talking about. What's interesting about, also very interesting about how my stepbrother died, even the story continues to the very, very end. He wasn't able to breathe well. He was having a heart attack and he wasn't able to breathe well. And my stepfather happened to call him during this time that it's happening. And he says, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe, you know. And the habit between these two individuals continued even in that moment. My stepfather, who lives over half an hour away from him, said, hold on, I will come get you and take you to the hospital. And by the time he arrived, my stepbrother was dead. What's interesting to me is that my stepbrother didn't even have enough inner intuition to dial 911. He had never even developed that much of a sense of even taking care of his physical needs to even dial 911. This is the spiritual infancy, although this is not a spiritual example. This is the spiritual infancy that Adyashanti is talking about can show up when we abdicate our authority. We do not learn how to lean on our own inner intuition. We don't learn how to recognize our own inner intuition. We don't find that wisdom that comes from that deep well of ourself to help us across the bridge of ourself from our ego self to our true self. We cannot abdicate our authority to a spiritual teacher or a spiritual teaching and expect it to tell us everything and do everything for us and develop that inner intuition that we need to develop too. Now, at the exact same time, Adyashanti talks about how we do need to love and respect and listen to our spiritual teacher, or if there's a spiritual guide that we've been, a written guide that we've been guided to, like A Course in Miracles, NTI, we need to listen to it. And, you know, and that would be similar to having what I'll call a loving father. Not that my stepfather didn't intend to love his son, but a different model. You know, a different model. Let's say the loving father, when the first time the son is driving drunk and gets his license taken away, the loving father shows up at court and supports him, but allows everything to occur. The loving father now helps the son. Instead of driving him to work every day for the next 3 years, the loving father now says, okay, here's a bus schedule, or here's a place that you can move to that's closer to your work, or here's some options you have. Make your own decision as to what you think is best for you. You see, the loving father might provide some options, point in some directions, but ultimately leaves the decision to the son or the daughter. Because if we do not leave the decision to the son or the daughter, they never develop that ability to listen within themselves. Well, that's the same thing spiritually. If we make no decisions for ourselves, if we don't learn to go within and intuit what is best for me, if we're completely relied on the outside, whether it's a spiritual teacher or a spiritual book like A Course in Miracles or NTI or anything else, you know, the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, you know, anything else, Nisargadatta, if we're completely outside focused and then trying to just do what we're being told to do by the outside and never going inside, we never develop that ability to listen to our spiritual intuition, that deep, deep well of wisdom. And you know what else? As A Course in Miracles points out, the path of awakening is highly individualized. I don't know how many of us there are on the planet Earth. Otherwise, how many of us there may be in a universe. I'll just pick a random number. Let's say there's 275 billion in this universe. Then there's 275 billion paths to awakening. Each one of us has a highly individualized, unique path of awakening. Now, certainly there are some commonalities. Certainly there are some intersects. And certainly someone who is ahead of us or a very well-written spiritual guide can help us, right? But we cannot abdicate our authority to it because our path has its own uniqueness that has never been experienced or written down before. And the only way I'm going to know how to find my way across that unique bridge or down that unique path to awakening is to also learn how to hear, recognize, and follow that deep well of wisdom within myself. The original edition of A Course in Miracles says, listen, learn, and do. And just like everything else, I've seen different interpretations of what that listen, learn, and do means, even to the point where I think it was taken out of the original edition and it's not in the Foundation for Inner Peace version. But I will tell you what the listen, learn, and do says to me. The listen, learn, and do says, listen to your inner wisdom. Learn from your inner wisdom and do what your inner wisdom is asking you to do. You know, and sometimes what your inner wisdom asks you to do is very, very simple. Like one of the things that I am guided to do is every morning after my contemplation and meditation period, write down the thought, which could have come from within. It could have come from the inner wisdom, or it could come from the book that I was reading that day. It varies. But write down the thought that is jumping out at me as the thought for the day. Carry it with me throughout the day and read it and contemplate it over and over. See, that's something my inner wisdom tells me to do. And so the best thing that I can do is do that. Right? It's just one of the things that my inner wisdom tells me to do. You see, my inner wisdom knows how to guide me across that bridge back to myself. Now, your inner wisdom is going to guide you. Now, sometimes our inner wisdom will guide us to listen to a particular teacher or to study a particular teaching. But we want to remember that the teacher or the teaching is secondary. The teacher, the inner teacher, is primary. It's kind of like we have an alpha and a beta. The alpha teacher is within. The beta teacher is without. And not only that, the beta teacher may change with time. For example, we could be guided to A Course in Miracles for a time and then guided to something else, right? The beta teacher may change. It's kind of like having a professor in a college that's a really, really good professor. And over the 4 years that you're there, you take a number of classes with them. You take 101 and 201 and 310 and 317 and 320 and then 4, right? You take all these different classes. This one teacher is such an expert. You keep listening to that one teacher. But as you take all these different classes, he's using different textbooks and different resources along the way to take you from your freshman year to graduation, right? The one teacher is the one within. The different textbooks and the different resources along the way are without. And if I abdicate my authority to one single without, then I may be stuck in my freshman year or stuck in my sophomore year and never progressing. That's the spiritual infancy. Now, what's really interesting about Adyashanti's article, at least to me, is he says something and then he says something else, which I think are kind of funny. First, he says, what is it to not abdicate your own authority and yet not claim a false or self-centered authority that will lead you into delusion? Because again, you know, we do have to learn the difference between our ego mind and this deep well of wisdom. Right? And, you know, maybe my spiritual teacher is telling me that I really need to meditate every day. My outer spiritual teacher is telling me I really need to meditate every day. And maybe in the moment when my outer spiritual teacher is telling me that, there's this inner confirmation, yeah, I do. But then I sit down, I have a hard time with meditating, and my ego mind starts saying, you don't really need to do this. Not everyone meditates. A Course in Miracles says you don't need to meditate, and pretty soon my ego mind is talking me out of it, right? I need to learn the difference between that self-centered ego mind, which is going to keep me from awakening, and that inner intuition that is guiding me to awakening. I need to learn the difference. And so Adyashanti says, how do you learn the difference? How do you learn the difference between your inner authority, which is guiding you perfectly, and then this other part of you, the ego part of you, the self-centered part of you, that is just distracting you from awakening? How do you learn the difference? He says, I'm afraid that I cannot tell you. You see, No one can tell you how not to deceive yourself. No one can tell you how not to deceive yourself. If in the deepest place within you, you want and desire truth above all else, and I'm going to pause there because that's where I think he comes right back to the answer. He says, I cannot tell you how to know the difference. And then he delivers the answer, the same answer that I delivered last time I was teaching here on Sunday morning. It's about that true desire, that spiritual aspiration. If you want awakening or truth or however you word that, if you want that above all else, remember we were reading from Michael Langford's book, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss? When your desire for liberation is intense, really intense. Remember we talked about as intense as a man being held underwater wants air. The desire for liberation, the desire for truth itself will provide you everything you need, including the ability to tell the difference between your ego mind and your deep well of wisdom. So even though Adyashanti says, I can't tell you how to tell the difference, he turns right around and tells you what you need to do in order to learn for yourself how to tell the difference. You need to increase your desire for awakening. You need to want truth above anything else. And this takes us right back to Michael Langford's teaching that the best first step, Michael Langford called it the first step, the best first step for a spiritual aspirant is to increase their desire for liberation. If we increase our desire for liberation and focus on that, we will then naturally begin to know the difference between our inner wisdom and our ego. And then although we will still use most certainly teachers from the outside and spiritual books from the outside, we will be following our alpha teacher, the inner spiritual wisdom that knows our unique path. He says, if in the deepest place within you, you want and desire truth above all else, even though you go astray in 1,000 different ways, you will find yourself somehow again and again being brought back to what is true. That's because if our desire for liberation, our desire for truth, our desire to know thyself is nursed so that it is the strongest desire within us, it will not let us go astray because we will not desire to go astray. We will desire to stay on the path that's moving us in the right direction. So we may temporarily wander off, but typically only long enough to realize, wait a minute, this isn't what I wanted, and boom, we're right back again. If in the deepest place within you, you want and desire truth above all else, even though you go astray in 1,000 different ways, you will find yourself somehow again and again being brought back to what is true. And if you do not want and desire truth above all else, well, you already know what that leads to. So please consider not only increasing your own desire for awakening, for spiritual liberation, for truth, but also please consider looking for, listening for, learning from, and doing what your inner spiritual well is asking you to do, even if it's different from everyone else, even if it's different from A Course in Miracles, from NTI, from the teachings of Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta. Follow your inner wisdom. Be completely committed to your inner wisdom. Everything else is just a beta. Thank you. Now it's time for us to contemplate this teaching and the reading that preceded it. It's also a time, if you feel to make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will pass the plate by posting a link to donate. I'm going to play a song for us to listen to while we contemplate. And the name of the song is Speak to My Heart. by the Tatiana Mayfield Quintet. So this is the time in our weekly gathering when it's your opportunity to share based on today's reading and teaching. So if you have something to share or something to ask, please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. If no one has anything to say, I'll just read a little bit from Adyashanti again, because it is helpful sometimes to hear things more than once. There isn't time for the full article, but I'll read a little bit. He says, there is a fine line between being truly open to the guidance of a spiritual teacher and regressing into a childish relationship where you abdicate your adulthood and project all wisdom and divinity onto the teacher. Again, there is a fine line between being truly open to the guidance of a spiritual teacher and regressing into a childish relationship like my stepbrother, where you abdicate your adulthood. Each person needs to find a mature balance. A mature balance. Being truly and deeply open to their spiritual guide without abdicating all of their authority. The same can be applied to a spiritual teaching. A spiritual teaching is a finger pointing toward reality. It is not reality itself. To be in a true and mature relationship with a spiritual teaching requires you to apply it. Apply it. Listen, learn, and do. To be in a true and mature relationship with a spiritual teaching requires you to apply it, not simply believe in it. Belief leads to various forms of fundamentalism. But what I think is even more important, belief shuts down the curiosity and inquiry that are essential to open the way for awakening. Belief in a spiritual teaching or the words of a spiritual teacher shuts down the curiosity and inner inquiry that are essential to open the way for awakening and what lies beyond awakening. A good spiritual teaching is something you work with and apply. In doing so, it works on you, often in a hidden way, and helps reveal to you the truth and falseness that lies within you. When you work with and apply a spiritual teaching, it actually helps to make you aware of that inner well of spiritual wisdom that is guiding you across your individual bridge. Guiding you to truth and guiding you to see the falseness in you that needs to be laid aside. When you believe a spiritual teaching, believe an intellectual belief system, it actually blocks the inquiry and the awareness of the inner well. All right, so what I'm going to do now is play a closing song. I want to thank you all very, very much for coming and spending your Sunday morning with me. It just occurred to me that today in America is what we call Father's Day. So to all of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day. And the song that I am closing with today is, hold on one second, let me get back to iTunes. It is called Word of God Speak, and it's by a band called Mercy Me.
finding myself at a loss for words, at a fucking mess. It's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. The word of God speak. Would you pour
everyone. Thank you very, very much. Please have a wonderful rest of the day. And Lynn, the mic is yours.